The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines. And we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voices of Wrestling Network.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Welcome to Jumping Bomb Audio.
Hello and welcome back to Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. My name is Taylor, and I am joined, as always, by my very good friend and co-host, Kelly. Kelly, hello.
Hello. We got a lot going on in the world of Joshi and a lot going on in the world of the world.
That's exactly right. Literally moments before going on air, it was announced Joe Biden dropping out of the race. We're actually starting a few minutes late because I got very distracted.
Yeah.
By the news.
I was looking like, wait a minute, what happened?
I literally was going to join the podcast and I was like, oh, let me just see what this post is. And I was like, seismic American history news. But not only in American history, we've had some seismic Joshi news as well.
Oh, yeah.
Which we're going to talk about on this show. We'll be talking about Marigold Summer Destiny Show. We'll be talking Tokyo Joshi's Summer Sun Princess. We'll be talking some Sendai Girls and much, much more on the show. Got a lot to get to. So let's dive right in. But before we do, got to get to the plugs. Follow us on Twitter at JBombAudio. You can follow Kelly at ComicGeekKelly, and you can follow me at TayMambo. Subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice. And if that app of choice is Apple Podcasts, we would really appreciate a 5-star rating and review. And if you're feeling extra generous, you can donate to the show at redcircle.com/shows/jumping-bomb-audio. So let's get right into it. We are going to kick the show off with the biggest show of the last 2 weeks. That would be Marigold Summer Destiny from back on July 13th at Ryogoku Sumo Hall in front of 3,058 fans. Kelly, I'll throw it to you for your overall thoughts on this show.
Overall, I thought the show was pretty good. I do think it lacked some of the excitement of the first handful of shows. I don't know if the bloom is off the Marigold already, but it just it didn't have the same energy, and the crowd wasn't super into a lot of stuff in the early goings. But like the back half definitely delivered for me. So overall, I think it was pretty decent.
I think my general thought was the good stuff was really good, and the stuff that wasn't good was not good. was sort of my general thought. I had a sort of slow time getting through the show because I thought it sort of started very
rough.
Yeah, maybe rough is the wrong word, but it was sort of like there wasn't an energy to it. It was sort of like these matches that weren't very good, and then there was like a 45-minute break to have performances and like make 8,000 announcements. And I was just sort of like, and then we came back and there was an, you know, another match that I was like, okay. So, you know, but then once it got to the stuff that it was like, oh, this stuff should be good. It was a good show.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, it took a while to get there. And some of that is thoughts I will share as we go through the individual matches. But I think overall it's a show very easily you could sort of hop in for the top three matches and really not miss much at all.
Yeah.
So the show began with a pre-show match, Match Zero, which would be Rhea Seto defeating Komomi Minami in 8 minutes and 23 seconds. Kelly, your thoughts?
What a horrible way to start the show. This was
Well, technically
really
didn't start the show.
Bad.
This was pre. This was before the show, pre-show.
It, what a horrible way to lead into the show. Like, Komomo is not ready. She is not ready to be out there yet. She looks like she constantly loses her place and kind of has to reset herself. I think Rhea Seto's pretty bad as well. Her offense looks terrible and doesn't have any impact. These two have quite a ways to go. This was terrible. I went one star.
My major note was this was pretty boring. was the major thing I wrote. Not super excited by either of these wrestlers. Doesn't feel like there's a lot to them. I know that at least for Komomo is just starting out. But was and again, it's like, okay, it doesn't seem that long. 8 minutes and 23 seconds.
When that's your second match, that is an eternity.
It feels so long. And I think that was part of also the show beginning is I was like, wow, these things are going very long.
Yeah.
Much longer than they should. Like, get out there, do a 4-minute match and get out of here.
Okay. My mistake. She's had more matches than I thought.
But
okay. It's her just... ninth match.
Well, anyway, it was too long.
Oh, yeah.
And
but
yeah,
looking at her matches, it's all like, so first match, 14:01, then a 2-minute Bozilla squash, then a 3.5-minute three-way, and then we go all singles matches, 6:51, 11:14, 9:01, 8:18, 8:15, 8:23. They're putting her out there for way too long.
Yeah, I just, I don't know. And this is sort of going to feed into a thought I have later. But yeah, this was a match sort of started the show. And I was like, because I was excited for the show. I was like, oh, this is going to be a fun show. And then I was sort of like, oh, okay. Here we go. Anyway, that led into the show proper. The first match, a tag team match, Chika Goto and Koki Amore went to a time limit draw with Kazuna Tanaka and Victoria Yuzuki, a 10-minute time limit draw. I could not believe it that this went to a time limit draw.
You can't beat anyone here?
I'm like, what?
And no one here can lose?
And then on English commentary, they were like, you know, I believe they, the official name, I don't know if it's the official name, but I do know it's the name, which is that Goto and Amore are going as the Twin Towers.
Yeah.
which is fine. You know, it's a weird loaded American term, but yeah. I'm like, it's fine to call them the Twin Towers, like in Japan. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the match ends in a draw. The English commentary is like, oh my God, Yuzuki and Tanaka survived the Twin Towers. They did it. They survived the onslaught. How amazing for them to have survived. I'm like, this is a team in the Twin Towers of like two mid-card or lower wrestlers. It's not like they went out there with like Nanai Takahashi and Seri.
Yeah.
Like if they would have survived 10 minutes with them, it would have been like, okay, yeah, they survived. But they were like, oh my God, they did it with the Twin Towers. I can't believe it. And I was like, not really. It just felt like, oh, we don't actually want to pin anyone, so we'll just go to a draw.
Yeah.
I will say a positive is I do like Chika Goto. She's won me over. I thought that she was good in this match. And then they cut to Tanaka in the audience after.
just looking so nonplussed.
Totally emotionless. Did not seem excited about it. Did not seem happy of what has happened. They cut to him with no emotion on his face, and it made me laugh out loud.
He's sitting there just like, they couldn't beat anybody?
Yeah. Okay. Yes, I've watched. And then probably the minute the camera was off, he stood up and walked out.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just like, why did this go to a draw?
I don't know. Like, what? This is not a match you run as your opener.
Yeah. Anyway, after this match, there was a long break in the show where there was a music performance by the Actress Girls.
I was so confused by this.
Well, I was confused because I thought it seems weird to bring in a music performance where the people singing the music are doing wrestling.
Yes.
I was like, I'm not sure about doing fake pro wrestling on an actual wrestling show.
Yes. No, 100%. That breaks the immersion.
I was just sort of like, why is this happening?
Like, are we supposed to believe they are having a match, or are they dancers who are simulating a match, but it still looks pretty close to what everyone else is doing? So does that mean this is all fake?
But I'm like, it's not even a break. You're not even like, ah, let's take a break. Which, by the way, after having it happen after one single match,
insane,
on the actual show was very funny. But it's like, okay, I could see if you said, okay, we're taking a break. We're going to have this person sing a song. Then you're like, okay, we're getting a little time. We're not seeing wrestling, whatever, whatever. But you did a performance that is just more wrestling.
Yeah. Like, and the commentary, the English commentary did nothing to lead into this. They said not a word of like, all right, now we're going to have a performance. It was just silence. And then this started and I'm like, okay, where's the context? Are you going to tell me what's happening? And they sure didn't.
So very strange. We then went into announcements, which the first announcement made me laugh because last time on our last episode, Kelly, remember we talked about the 5-star Grand Prix.
Uh-huh.
And we were like, oh my God, it's amazing. It's going to be only 3 weeks long. Uh-huh. Like, how nice. There will be a lot more shows, but it will be very concentrated. It'll happen in 3 weeks. Well, guess what? The minute the 5-star Grand Prix ends, Marigold is having the Dreamstar Grand Prix, like starting 3 days after the 5-star for a full month.
So, it's truly wild how much this is just, it's just Stardom, but not. Like, he's not even trying to make it something different.
But I was just like, oh, I thought it would be so nice to just have a concentrated 3 weeks of a Grand Prix. And now we just have a concentrated 2 months. Now we're going to have the same amount of time with more shows. So that made me laugh. They also announced they're going to have a big show on January 3rd, 2025. Marigold First Dream. Wonder why that show's happening on the 3rd.
Yeah, I don't know.
Wink, wink. And then Michiko Omukai came out to the ring to introduce her daughter, Shino, who will be joining the Marigold roster.
She looks so young.
And this is the point where I had to say, I think right now... Marigold really needs to have someone jump from somewhere that is an established person.
Yeah, because we're just getting children at this point.
Like, I don't know when Mayu's contract is officially up, although I think it's coming up soon-ish.
I think it's October, is what I've always heard.
But, like, they need her to jump because the last, like, seven announcements have been like, this child is joining Marigold, where it feels now like, oh, I'm watching a training promotion.
Yeah.
That is, you know, especially, I don't know when exactly this is happening again, because I don't have the NXT schedule memorized, but at some point, Julia's probably going to start disappearing.
Yeah.
At some point, Sari is, you know, I think still, I haven't heard anything the contrary, still technically a freelancer, although now she is a champion, which means she'll probably be around a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like they have this huge top end. You know, Julia leaves, they're going to have Sari, Utami, Danai. I guess if you want to count like Bozilla. Even though she also is very young, you know, Miku could probably be counted, but it's like there's not a lot of people here. It feels like it's a lot of trainees.
Yeah.
And it's like, here's another, like, oh, Kazuna Tanaka has joined, who is also, you know, has been wrestling for a while, but it's like, here's another young person. Oh, and now we're introducing this other young person who will be a trainee. And it's like, okay. I don't need any more trainees at the moment. Thank you.
Yeah, you either need more, you need signings, or just start using more freelancers.
Or you just need someone who's like, hey, so-and-so is joining that you don't think, oh, you know, it will be 3 years before they matter in this company. So it was just, I was like, oh, okay, that's interesting, but I wish it wasn't on the heels of, like, every show they bring out someone new who's like, here's someone pretty inexperienced. They're joining the roster.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool. So,
do you know how old she is? Because, like, my guess is maybe 12.
No, I have, I don't know. Yes, but
like
many
she came out
did.
And I'm just like, this is a baby.
So that was a long and very strange break. It lasted a really long time, right?
It lasted so long.
Okay. And that really broke the momentum. I was like, okay, I've watched one match and now I've watched 45 minutes of not wrestling.
Because at this point you feel like you should be like halfway through the card.
Yeah. We had watched one match, one official match. But anyway, then we did get back to the wrestling action with another tag team match, Chiaki and Nagisa Nosaki defeating the Gaijin tag team of Myla Grace and the real deal, Zeta Steel, in 8 minutes and 40 seconds. Kelly, what were your thoughts on this?
This match had negative juice. There was zero juice to be had. And also, based on their performances, I am led to believe that Chiaki and Nagisa Nozaki have never used or maybe even seen a chair in their life.
Well, Nagisa had that long stretch where it was like, I can't get the chair to fold. I can't get the chair to fold. And I was like, oh God, just hit her with the chair open.
Yeah. This was not the match you wanted to have after that long ass break, because like the crowd was dead.
I had some positive. I mean, I didn't think the match was that great, but I like Chiaki's finisher. I'll say that. I don't understand or slash care the idea of the chair comes in the ring and it's like, okay, people are getting hit with the chair. And then they're like, no, no, no. We're too good to use this chair.
Not the way.
It's not the way to do it. Oh, we can't do it. I'm like, I don't care. Just use they've already used the chair.
Yeah.
Like, you're behind at this point. One other thing I did like, I will say, shout out to the real deal, because it does feel like she is one person who every match she's in, the match ends and she's in some story.
Mm-hmm.
Like the match is over and it's like, okay, I'm just going to continue. And my story is going to be this time that, you know, I'm arguing with Mila about using the steel chair. And I'm like, well, that's interesting to do that, because she came out at, you know, that Bozilla match where she ended up getting that one-on-one Bozilla match. So I'm like, oh, that's fun. And that's a good way to, you know, have these undercard matches that, although they're really not great, you know, they sort of end and you're like, oh, I do feel like something. It doesn't just feel like, oh, we walked out there, we had a match for 8 minutes and then we left.
Mm-hmm.
With no consequence. It's like, oh, something did happen here, which I liked.
Yeah.
So, but the match really was not that good. However, the next match was our first title match of the evening, the finals of the Superfly title tournament, where Natsumi Shozuki became the first ever Superfly champion, defeating Misa Matsui in 14 minutes and 51 seconds. And I don't know if it was because I had watched a handful of not good matches, but sort of thought this rocked.
It was good.
I was really into it. I went 4 stars.
Okay.
On the match, I thought they were just, they wrestled with some intensity. It felt like they really cared about winning the title. There was the inadvertent blood in
that, helped a lot
in the middle of the match, which helped. And I liked the finishing back and forth. And I liked that Shozuki had the winning pin. She like pinned her and then put her leg on Matsui's arm. Like she did the pin and then she's like, oh, let me make sure I get the win, and like put her leg over her arm. And I was like, oh, that's a fun thing. I also like Misa's suplex on the apron. That was the other thing I liked. But I thought it was super enjoyable. You know, two very solid workers working well, having some stakes with the title. So yeah, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, good match. I went 3.5 on it. I think I would have been around 4, but for whatever reason, the closing like minute and a half or so felt like they went past kind of the climax of the match and just ran a little longer than they should have. But other than that, I really, really enjoyed this, and it was a much needed, oh, something good on this card. Like, honestly, you probably could have just opened the show with this. That probably would have been a better move.
Yeah, this was the first thing where I was like, okay, here's the show I thought I was getting. I'm excited to see more of this show.
And you could actually hear the crowd in this match, which we hadn't had yet.
Yeah, you could tell the matches where the crowd cared, and it wasn't like a whole show where they're quiet and it's like, oh, maybe they're not mic'd properly.
Yeah, no, they were like, mic'd just fine.
Yeah, no, they were mic'd perfectly fine, and they just made noise for the matches they gave a shit about.
Mm-hmm.
Which was this match. The next match was a 6-person tag team match. It was Marigold against LLPWX for control of the LLPWX dojo. It was the LLPWX team of Nori, Shinobu Kandori, and Takako Inoue defeating the Marigold trio of Mai Sakurai, Nanae Takahashi, and Nao Ishikawa in 15 minutes and 33 seconds. The first thing we have to talk about on this match, Kelly.
Mai Sakurai?
Mai Sakurai doing possibly the worst Paradise Lock of all time.
It was horrible. There's a lot of Mai Sakurai to talk about in this match, because there's that, and then there's the maybe selling, maybe actually knocked out section of the match.
Yes. Yeah, I have that note as well. I literally wrote, did Mai Sakurai die in the middle of the match? Because she was laying in the middle of the ring, not moving at all for a very long stretch of time.
Yeah.
But the Paradise Lock, where she just put Kandori's arms, like, made her hold her own hands and then put them behind her back. And I was like, this is not a... First of all, the Paradise Lock stinks.
Yeah.
Just generally.
And this has just made, like, it so much worse.
The worst of all of them. Like, it's not a paradise. Like, just let go of your own hands and you're out. Yeah.
Because not only did it make Mai look bad, it made Kandori look bad to be stuck in that spot.
And then they talked about it after the match. They were like, how dare you put me in the Paradise Lock? I was like, oh no, we can't
have this. You could have just gotten up.
Just stand up. Also, question for the room. How soon until Nori is in Marigold?
Probably pretty soon. She's great. She was like the standout of the match for me.
But I was like watching the match being like, oh, she's totally getting... And I think they mentioned it during... They talked about poaching at some point on the English commentary. They were like, oh, maybe so-and-so will be poached. And I was like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, that's a... I don't know if I would go around saying that, but...
But, like I said, I thought this started off pretty poorly. But it got better once it was like the Kandori Nanai sequences, the Nori Nao Ishikawa sequences, I both really like. So I thought it got there. It just sort of started like a dud.
It was very strange. This goes back to what we talked about, I think, last we talked about a Marigold show. Mai Sakurai has regressed so much. Like, there was a time where I thought she was good, and we are long past that again, and oof.
Well, I think, like I said, she's, you know, in Stardom, it was sort of like, hey, we'll throw you out there with someone who's really good, and they'll take care of you and, like, make you look good, and I don't think that's happening here.
No.
So I think now it's just like, here's the type of wrestler I am.
I would love to know what happened with that, the knockout spot, if that was real, or if she was working brother, because it was so weird either
way.
It
was strange, yeah. Because I was like, why is she just she's just like laying there. I don't know. Maybe I missed that, you know, she did get legitimately locked out, which would be bad.
Yeah.
But she was in the rest of the match. It isn't like they were like, oh shit, she got knocked out. Just like,
yeah,
shuffle her off to the side. So I don't know. But I thought ended well.
Mm-hmm. I ended up going 3.5 on it.
So, yeah. The next match was the semifinal match in the Marigold United National Title Tournament. And it was Miku Aono defeating Mirai in 24 minutes and 14 seconds. Kelly, your thoughts first.
This was great. They worked really hard. They threw bombs the whole time. It was kind of the match you expected out of them, though I did actually expect this one to go far shorter. Like, I thought they would kind of just subvert what they had been doing with the time limit draws and just make a quick, like, flash pin or something. But whatever, what we got was good. I really enjoyed it. One note that I have is that, did you notice the referee was just sweating buckets this whole match?
I did not. No,
oh,
I did not.
He was pouring sweat.
I thought you were going to ask me something else, because I have a note that I had for both this match and the next match, which really threw me off, which was that the English commentary continuously called, and I'm sure this is actually what it is, but they kept saying, Oh, they're out here to get that pure white belt. The pure white of the belt. And I was like, oh my God, this sounds like we're fighting over some like white nationalism title. Like the pure, just call it's just the white belt. It doesn't have to be, you know. And I think they're also doing like, oh, the crimson red belt. But I'm like, stop calling
it. Very different from just the plain old white and red belt.
Stop calling it the pure white, the pure white, the pure whiteness.
A snow white belt
will be given to someone. And I was like, stop calling it that. I thought the match got pretty good. I thought it started off pretty badly. My whole thing was the match is starting on commentary. I think it was Sonny was talking about, you know, they had these three time limit draws, 15 minutes and then the 5 minute overtime period. And he was saying, you know, they would start these matches and they would be very technical and they would wrestle. And then they would get to the 5 minute period and they would be like ferocious battles, as he described them. And I thought this match started so slowly that I was like, if you haven't beaten someone in three times, wouldn't you come out and just be like, especially knowing you've got another match coming up, if you win, wouldn't you come out and be like, we've got to like go. Like the first 5 minutes was like Mirai doing, you know, lay and pray submission stuff.
It should have been a sprint.
It should have been like 8 minutes shorter.
Mm-hmm.
And they should have started with like, we're going to stand, which they did. In the second half of the match, like we're going to stand in the middle of the ring and trade forearms and we're going to hit each other really hard and do all this stuff. Because once they started doing that, I was like, yeah, this is great. This is great. But it started with this like very measured, like, okay, here we go. We're getting into it. And oh, we're going for submissions. And I'm like, no, you want to get in there and you want to, you know, beat this person fast because you got to go take on Bozilla in 2 seconds after you win. Like, you want to get in and get out like it's a 5 minute overtime period because mm-hmm. you've got more match. So that really held it back for me. But I, like I said, sort of the second half of the match I really liked. It was just the first half I thought was sort of like not super great.
Yeah. Well, it kind of goes to like the story of the CM Punk Samoa Joe trilogy when they were doing they did the two draws and then they were trying to figure out the last one and Ricky Steamboat was just around and he was like, why don't you just go like 20 minutes? And they're like, holy shit, that's such a great idea. It's kind of like that where it's just like, yeah, you probably just subvert expectations. Don't go for a 20 almost 25 minute match, just work quick.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have gone like 15 minutes and just been like, oh, Miku won.
Yeah.
And they finally had the fire of like, they really spent it all and they did it. And you know, that's, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think some of it was like, ah, clearly that they needed more than 20 minutes to settle it because we'd given them 20 minutes and it took 24. Like, I think that was sort of the story of, you know, 20 minutes can't contain these people, but then it just turns into like, well, we don't have a 25 minute match in us. So 5 or 6 or 7 minutes of this is going to be sort of like ambling around.
Mm-hmm.
Then Miku Aono went right into the Marigold United National Title Tournament Finals and in 10 minutes and 13 seconds managed to defeat Bozilla to win the United National Title and become the first champion. I do have to say, before we talk about the match, this was the one single match I was spoiled on. And Kelly, I don't know if you experienced this as well. But because Liam tweeted at the Jumping Bomb Audio Twitter, I believe moments after the match ended, saying, oh no, my draft is screwed. And I was like, well, I guess I know what happens here. So thanks a lot, Liam.
Thanks, Liam. Eat shit, Liam.
But anyway, for this match, I enjoyed the idea of the story more than the execution of the story. Like, I thought the match was fine, but I liked the idea of, oh, this person had a match. Clearly, they're the underdog already against this huge monster, but they managed to pull it out, you know, miraculously through fighting spirit or whatever you want to call it. But I just thought the match itself was fine. Didn't think it was bad. Didn't particularly think it was good, but just sort of thought it was what it was.
Yeah, it's a hell of a push for Aono, definitely. Like, it seemed like this was tailor-made for Bozilla. So it was very surprising to see this outcome. I thought the match, what we got was good. I don't think the win, like, or the loss really hurts Bozilla at all, because it was more of a flash pin. And, you know, you can just have her do something to get the heat back on the next show. But yeah, what it was pretty good. I think as like a whole for the Aono Mirai and Aono Bozilla matches, I would probably go 4 stars if we could just put them together as one. But like on their own, I wouldn't go that high. Also, while we've been talking, I've been going through all of the Marigold matches. Like, just all of their times. And I think I've hit a problem here. In their history, there has, aside from the time, the extra time on the time limit draws, there has only been 2 matches under 5 minutes.
What were those matches? The Bozilla squash.
There was a Bozilla squash, and then there was that random three-way Minami was in. So I think they're both Minami matches.
Yes.
But other than that, everything else is over 5 minutes, and that's kind of an issue, to where I think this company definitely prioritizes longer matches. I think that's a Rossi thing, and I don't know if that's a great idea, especially when you have things like, hey, the story probably calls for like a quicker match, but maybe that's not what the company wants.
Yeah, we'll have to keep our eye on that. It may be a, because I don't have any data on this, but it does seem like since Rossi went away from Stardom as well, that those matches have gotten shorter.
Yeah.
Sort of in general. I don't know. I think it's this Rossi thing where he's like, a single defeat of anyone is catastrophic.
Mm-hmm.
For them, which is why
it needs to be a big fight.
There's so many time limit draws, which is why the matches go so long, because it's like, well, they can't lose because everyone will think they're a huge loser and never respect them.
It's like, no, Rossi, that's just you.
Yeah. Which is a weird thing. But anyway, back to this show, we were on to the semi main event, the singles match, the Queen of Queen match, where the visiting Io Sky defeated Utami in 23 minutes and 1 second. Kelly, I'm interested to see what you thought of this match. The Wrestling Observer went 4 3/4.
That makes sense. Match. Like, this feels like a match Dave would be into. He likes flippy-doos.
Were you that high?
I was just shy. I was 4.5.
Interesting. I was 4 1/4.
Okay. I think I, more than anything, I was just really happy to see that, like, the real Io Shirai is still in there. Because, like, she doesn't wrestle like this on WWE shows. Anytime I've seen her, I've been like, oh, well, that sucks. That's a shame she had to retire. But it's like, oh, shit, she's still in there. She can still do this. So that was good. That was my main bit of excitement, where it's like, hey, she didn't go away. I mean, she went away, but, you know, still there. Still in there. Poor Utami just got the shit beat out of her in this match. But, you know, she made sure Io took some wild bumps at least. Yeah, I thought this really delivered. There's one thing in the post-match that I really liked, where there was a nice little touch where Io was kind of, when she was leaving, she waited to kind of like start selling her back until after she got out of eyeshot of the fans, to where it was like, oh, she didn't want to show how much she's actually been beaten up, but the cameras caught it. And she kind of like, once she got to the tunnel, she like collapsed holding her back. And I thought that was a really nice touch. Like, that was a really cool moment. It's a shame she has to go back to the retirement home.
Yeah, I thought this was a super fun match. Probably the thing holding it back for me. And again, I went 4.25 stars. But
yeah, why'd you hate the match?
Yeah, it was a bit surface level for me, in that really the only story was like these two people. Like Utami has always wanted this match, and these two people used to lead Queen's Quest.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, that's nice, but that doesn't really give any story to the match beyond sort of like Io coming back. Utami's face was badly beaten, which I did note. Also, maybe this is just my preference. English announcers spent a lot of time talking about, oh, this test, it's another level for Utami. She's never faced anything like that. And I'm like, wow, we're really burying all of Joshi.
Yeah.
By being like, she's never faced anything like that. I'm like, Utami's been at or near the top of all of Joshi for many years.
Mm-hmm.
And I would make the argument that, you know, in kayfabe, that the women of Joshi are on equal level as to the women of WWE. You know,
you'd think you'd want to frame it like that.
If Io Sky had gone to WWE and been the women's champion for 6 years, then maybe I could say, okay, that's someone who's so dominant and is coming back, and it's like, oh my God, this person is insanely, you know, Luthez-esque title holder or something. But I don't know. It always just rubs me the wrong way to be like, oh my God, she's never seen anyone like Io Sky, the greatest of all time. Of course,
they also Bruno Sammartino was reincarnated in the body of this tiny Japanese woman.
They also hilariously had to be like, Io Sky and Utami, the greatest two wrestlers in Stardom history. And then I think Sonny awkwardly was like, Mayu is also good. and I was like, okay, sneaking it in there. All right. But yeah, that was one thing. I have another thing for the main event. But yeah, I really liked it. It was just, I sort of had no connection to it beyond the realm of like, oh, this is good fun wrestling that I'm watching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a dream match, and with no build up aside from that.
And I haven't read, I mean, I don't know if Dave, I also think that it's sort of the consensus that the semi main was better than the main event.
I disagree with that strongly.
I do as well, but like, I haven't read, I don't know if Dave wrote something in the Observer about the match, so I don't know if he explained like, oh, I like this match more than this match because of XYZ. But yeah, the main event was for the Marigold World title, Sari defeating Julia in 25 minutes and 48 seconds. Kelly, I will let you go first.
4.75 match of the year candidate. This ruled. They just went nuts and beat the shit out of each other. It was the kind of wild brawl I was really hoping for. So many times people getting dropped on their head. The pile driver through the table looked cool as hell. Just a great match. One of my favorite things in wrestling right now is the look on Sari's face before she's really just gonna belt someone. Like, there's a moment where it's just like, comes over her face where she's like, I think I'm going to kill this girl. And then she just fucking unloads on her, and it's great every time. My only complaint is I wish it had like a more of a definitive finish, but that might not be, that might be Julia not wanting to put someone over completely on the way out, but who knows. Regardless, I love this match.
Yeah, I was right behind you. I went 4.5 stars. I was almost at 4.75, and then I was the same on the ending where it sort of felt, also I was watching it later where I could see the timing on the video file, and I was like, oh, there's still half an hour of the show left.
Oh.
They must be like restarting, like Julia's going to stand up and be like, I didn't give up. Restart the match. Restart the freaking match or something.
Yeah.
You know, it does give her the out, but I was just sort of like, it's not bad. I didn't think the finish was bad, but it feels very non-definitive, which is why I was like, oh, is this 4.75? And then I thought, no, probably 4.5. I mean, I still thought the match ruled, of course, sort of what you would expect from this match, from the two of them. Another commentary thing I didn't like, which I'm really talking about commentary on this show. Julia comes out. They say, oh, we didn't know if this match was going to be happening because Julia had her accident where Bozilla accidentally broke her wrist. I'm like, why are you saying that? You should be saying, Julia almost wasn't ready because Bozilla broke her wrist.
Yeah.
She's a huge monster and she won't stop at pinning her opponent. She broke Julia's wrist. Look, we all know, we're not stupid. We know that Bozilla did not go out there thinking, ha ha ha, I'm going to break Julia's wrist. But the fact they continuously refer to it as, oh, the accident that happened. Oh, it was accidental. I'm like, no. Just say that Bozilla is such a crazy monster that she broke Julia's wrist.
Get some heat.
Yeah. It just was so strange to me that they were like, to be sure, this was an accident. Bozilla did not mean, when she landed on Julia, she did not mean to break her wrist. I'm like no,
Are they preemptively worried about the crazy WWE fans are going to come to Julia's defense and like dox Bozilla or something?
I don't know, but I was just like, oh, stop saying that. But yeah, I mean, it was everything you would expect. The strikes, suplexes, really the whole thing. So I loved it. Exactly my type of match.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Maybe they run it back because Julia says, well, I never gave up. And that gives them an in to run it again. Maybe.
Maybe.
But yeah, really, I thought a strong end to the show, and sort of at the end of the show, I was like, oh, that was a great show, forgetting, and now we've sort of gone back. As we went back through the show, I was like, oh, yeah, the start of the show was not good. but it was sort of wiped out by like, hey, two great matches back to back.
Yeah,
that were really fun. Hooray. So any other thoughts on Summer Destiny, Kelly?
Not really, but I have been thinking, what do you think Booker of the Year Shawn Michaels is going to do when he has to deal with Julia not wanting to put people over?
Well, that's the first thing they teach when, you know, you have to go to Florida. Because if you don't go to Florida, America is very confusing.
Florida has the only "that works for me, brother" classes.
I love to do that for you, brother. It'd be my pleasure.
Brother, the honor is mine.
Yeah. But that was Summer Destiny. Also happening in the last 2 weeks, Tokyo Joshi Summer Sun Princess at Korakuen Hall on July 20th, held at Korakuen Hall this year because Oda Ward Gymnasium is not available. Held in front of 873 fans, which is slightly down.
I would have guessed it was a far bigger crowd based on how loud they were.
Yeah, I mean, 873, it's down, but of course they were in a different building, so it's sort of hard to do a one-on-one comparison. But Kelly, what did you think of this show overall?
I thought it was a tremendous show. The back half of the card I went kind of nuts with my star ratings, but like I thought this was a great show all around. I had a very good time watching this.
Yeah, I thought it was good. I believe, out of step with one match on this card, which I think held it back from me being like, wow, what a great show. I thought it was a very good show, but not quite great, would be my
thought. Okay.
So before the show started, it was announced, they announced some shows. They announced that Tokyo Joshi will be having a show on December 29th. Year-end party will be happening on the 29th, in addition to their usual January 4th show, which will be happening. So some announcements there. And then we got right into the card. The opener was a six-person tag team match with a bunch of the, I guess they're not rookies anymore, rookie-ish people, where Runa Okuba, Toga, and Wakana Uehara defeated Haru Kazushiro, Himawari, and Shino Suzuki in 13 minutes and 59 seconds. I did think for a minute that they were going to set up like Shino Suzuki having Toga's number. And it being like, Shino is not that good, but she can beat Toga every time they face off. That would be an interesting story. But in the end, Toga gets the win back on Shino Suzuki. You know, don't have much to say, but another very solid match from this group who are all, I think, pretty good.
I was super high on this match. I went 3 3/4. Like, I loved it. I thought everyone worked super hard. They worked way harder than they had to. Like, it felt like they were working the main event in their mind. I thought the Toga and Shino had a really good exchanges near the end and kind of put on a great match of their own. This landed for me so well. I really loved it.
Yeah, it wasn't there for me. I thought it was really good. I don't know if it's because maybe my expectations now are like, oh, they're all very good. And I was like, yep, this was very good. It's what I expected. So I don't know. I probably would have gone like 3 1/4 stars. So not that far off from where you were. But yeah. The next match was a singles match between two of the rookies, which is appropriate to say here. Kira Summer defeating Chika Nanase in 5 minutes and 50 seconds. Here's a short match.
Mm-hmm.
This was short, and it felt very short. Felt sort of like a match designed to get Kira's first victory out of the way. So it's like, okay, yes, She's won. You know, following the opener, tough to do for two rookies. I don't think either of these are as strong as any of the six.
No.
From the first match, although I do think Kira has a lot of personality, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
So she has that going for her, but I'm not yet seeing a lot here in ring from them that makes me think, oh, yeah, they're following in the footsteps and they're already, you know, at this point. It was like Toga. We were like, oh, Toga, she can hit really hard. So I think definitely a step behind where the previous class was at this point. But there's only two of them instead of 8 million of them, which also might not help. But yeah, so thought the match, really not much to say about it.
Yeah, very basic. I don't think it was bad. But, you know, they definitely had a hard time following the previous match, so it was fine.
The next match was another singles match, hashtag goblin mode, as Mei Suruga defeated Uta Takami in 7 minutes and 19 seconds. My favorite thing is that Uta dresses like a small schoolgirl and then wears Nike wrestling boots. Which really made me laugh.
Yeah.
I really liked this match. I went 3 3/4 on this match. I thought it was super fun, a good sort of exchange of personalities between Mei and Uta And I just really enjoyed it. I thought it was well wrestled. I think Uda's really good. Sort of, again, shockingly, has a lot of fun stuff in the ring. And I, as I usually say, when she shows up, I think Tokyo Joshi should use Mei Suruga more.
Yep, absolutely. I loved that Mei just went full heel in this match. That was great. And Uda very much feels like a very raw version of Mei. So this was kind of the perfect match for her to have to learn and grow as a wrestler. So yeah, really good. I went 3.5. This should definitely be the beginning of a new run in the company for Mei.
The next match was a 6-person tag team match. It was proposed to be a Summer Rules match, which was denied in the pre-match, but then pretty much turned into a Summer Rules match, I believe. Anyway, as Palm Harajuku, Raku, and Yuki Aono defeated Kaya Toribami, Moka Haruhi, and Yuna Manase in 9 minutes and 2 seconds. My biggest takeaway from this match, it was largely a comedy match. Can Kaya Toribami catch a break?
No.
She's losing. She's on the, you know, Gombari Pro team, and she's losing to Palm Harajuku, Raku, and Yuki? Like, what's happening?
I don't know.
Is she being, like, punished? I certainly thought, oh, Toribami will finally win. She's on this team. You know, Yuna will get the pinfall. And then Toribami gets pinned. I couldn't believe it. So that was really my only thought of this match.
Yeah, I'll read my notes from beginning to end. Goofball Trio defeats Manase Trio. This was a fine goofball match. 3 stars.
Great. we were right on the same. I was like, I don't really have that much to say about this match. And then Toribami got pinned and I was like, what?
Yeah.
Oh, I couldn't believe it. And it's like, okay, you know, oh, she's busy. She's doing other things. She's on all these shows.
Yeah.
She can't be that busy.
Yeah, I don't know what the excuse is anymore for why they're doing this.
Like, what's going on? Oh, I don't understand. Anyway, the next match was a singles match originally scheduled to be Yuki Kamifuku against Naokakuta. Now was out with an injury. So in stepped Kakeru Sekiguchi, which was fun, for her 3rd appearance in Tokyo Joshi. And Yuki defeated her in 8 minutes and 9 seconds. A weirdly mean match, I thought, at the end. As Sekiguchi hits Nao's finisher, Nao starts crying at ringside. Yuki points at her and goes, watch this. Hits another one of her moves, hits the Famouser, and beats Sekiguchi as they cut to Naokakuta crying at ringside. Then at the end of the match, they were like, oh, good stuff, everyone. Goodbye. And I was like, oh, I guess maybe I read more into this than I thought, because it appeared very mean to be like, oh, you like seeing your finisher? Watch this.
So. Yeah, it did feel like that. I thought Kamiyu was particularly great in this match. Like, all of her stuff looked really fluid to me, and she put in a really good performance. And saying that Kakeru looks like Mahiro, but not as boring, is such a great burn.
Yeah, I was happy. You know, obviously, don't like anyone getting injured, especially now so close to her retirement. But I was like, wow, Kakeru Sekiguchi, that's awesome. Like,
yeah.
What a great person to bring in. Like, that's really exciting.
Bring her in more. Let's do it.
So, yeah. Again, as I said, would be great for this, you know, not a lot of mid-card Tokyo Joshi era.
Yeah.
You know, bring in these people who can be in these matches and have good matches and then can leave or go wherever. So, yeah, great. The next match was a tag team match, the regular duo of 1-2-1 million, Maki Ito and Miyu Yamashita, defeating the visiting Emi Sakura, who tagged with Mizuki, losing in 16 minutes and 16 seconds. K Kelly, your thoughts?
This rocked. Give me the Emi Sakura Miyu Yamashita singles match. I need it. I need it right now. Definitely felt like they kept some in the tank, and I'm hoping it was for that. The skull kick at the end of the match straight up looked like it killed Mizuki. It was so good. My only complaint is there's a little bit more comedy than I would have liked in the match, especially with how it just started as a straight up brawl. But aside from that, I really liked it. I went 4 stars.
Yeah, I was 3 3/4, so I was right below you. The skull kick looked so good. And my main thought was Emi Sakura is good, and they're really wasting her in AEW.
Yeah.
It's so funny to me that, well, it was also funny watching this match, having Emi do her AEW stuff and having everyone actually do it along with her. Mm-hmm. And being like, oh, this is a lot of fun, as opposed to when they pull her out of mothballs once every 6 months in AEW. And they're like, well, none of the audience does her claps along with her. I'm like, yeah, you want to know why? They don't ever see her.
My favorite thing whenever Emi Sakura has a match in AEW is she puts on a killer match, and then whoever she's against is the one that everyone gives all the flowers to.
Yeah, they're like, wow, what a great match. Oh, amazing. God, I wish we could have these good women matches all the time. And then they're just like, well, Emi Sakura, we'll call you when we need you.
Yeah.
You know, go over there. And it's just like, yeah, so crazy. But it's good to see her here because it looked great. Obviously, I think they must be building.
They have to be.
To Miyu Emi.
Or they're just shooting their own angle.
Maybe. Maybe Emi Sakura went, you know, Roosh at the end.
Yeah.
And was like, I'm going to do my own angle here, attacking Mizuki afterwards.
Yeah.
But yeah, just really great.
Emmy's in the back going, like, you want to come to Ichigaya?
She has not been to that does work for me, brother classes in Florida, clearly. So. Yeah, good stuff. The next match was a special singles match. Aja Kong defeating Shoko Nakajima in 9 minutes and 1 second. I like this. I would have liked it more had Shoko Nakajima hit the opening 619 properly and also hit whatever that rope move she was trying to do multiple times was. It felt like they had big ideas, and some of them did work, and some of them I was like, not quite.
Mm-hmm.
I also thought in the middle, I was like, they should just do like Aja Kong never loses. If they could convince her to lose one single time, should they do Aja Kong versus Miyu and have Miyu win?
Yes.
Watanabe.
I have that in my notes, where this is absolutely what... Aja Kong should have come out and challenged Miyu at the end of the show.
Because I'm like, if you get one, if you could say, we want you to lose one time, you never lose here. You never lose, and you never even look mortal.
No.
Most of the time. Can you lose literally one single time in the main event? Because I also think it would draw.
Oh, 100%. And because she works her ass off in these Tokyo Joshi shows. Every time she works really hard.
Yeah, and it looked good. I went 3.5. I probably would have been slightly higher had the, like I said, those couple things gone off correctly, because it's sort of like the match started and I was like, oh great, Shogo's attacking her quick. And then it was like, oh, but she missed the first move and Aja sort of had to be like, what's happening? Oh no. But like the stuff later in the match looked good with like the Hurricanrana stuff, like powerbomb stuff looked really good.
The senton on the apron was awesome.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That was good. So they had a lot of good stuff and it felt like they went for some big things that I really liked. It just felt like not all of it connected. So I was like, okay, I would have liked it more, but I did think they should do Aja versus Miyu.
Yep.
They probably won't, but oh well, a boy can dream.
I know. Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. That's my final note on the match. But I'm higher than you on this. I went 4.25. Like, I thought this is as close to an Aja Kong sprint as you're going to get in 2024, and it ruled. So I was very happy with this one.
The semi-main of the show is our first of two title matches. The Princess Tag Team titles on the line. The Daisy Monkey champions. The champions, Daisy Monkey, I should say. Arisa Endo and Suzume defeating Moka Miyamoto and Yuki Arai in 16 minutes and 9 seconds. Kelly, I will let you go first.
I thought this was shockingly great. And not like I thought it was going to be bad, but I just didn't expect Moka and Yuki Arai to work so well as a team together. So I thought that elevated the match quite a bit. Daisy Monkey just keeps getting better and better as a team. They did a bunch of cool little double team transitions and counters in this match that looked really good. Especially the main one to me was the drop kick to block Arai hitting finally. I thought that spot was awesome. Seeing Endo and Moka doing back and forth fighting spirit spots was kind of wild. I was not expecting that. But yeah, I thought this was a fantastic match. I went 4.25 on this one too.
I went 4.25. This was my match of the night. I will say as maybe a shock. Yes. I had the same note about Daisy Monkey about the blocking the finally, but my thing was Daisy Monkey are very good, but I think the thing that sets them apart is they are also interesting in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
They do like interesting things. Like, I really liked the kick of finally because it was like, oh, no one's ever done that. And it sort of came out of nowhere. Like Suzume, her dive, which often feels like it's going to go terribly wrong every time she does it. You're like, oh, get over. Oh, no. Like all these sort of strange things that are like the dive was good. Mm-hmm. But you sort of have this thing of like, oh, my God, can she even get over the top rope? She's so small. So it's the combination of they're very talented, they're very good, but also they're doing interesting things.
It looks like they spend a lot of time just thinking about doing stuff in slightly different ways than everyone else.
Yeah. I also think the biggest thing for me was I thought this was a great performance from Yuki Arai.
Yes, she was
finally
great here.
Looks like she is actually kicking people.
Yes.
That's the biggest thing. I'm like, every kick she delivered looked like she was trying to really kick people, which mm-hmm. has always been my note. I'm like, she has these so soft kicks that she does, but all of her kicks looked great. I thought she looked great overall. So I thought that was good. You know, I still think Moka Miyamoto largely gets by on a weird energy that she has as opposed to like genuine skill.
Mm-hmm.
Like it feels like she's just in the ring like and you're like, whoa, what's going on here, as opposed to like, oh, she's going in the ring and hitting great moves. Like she has the punches, which are interesting, but it just feels sort of like a weird energy that she has. But yeah, I thought it was sort of going along. I was like, oh yeah, this is nice, and then all of a sudden I was like, whoa, this is great, this is really good. And glad that Daisy Monkey is getting these wings. And I hope that they hold the tag titles for a long time because they're great.
Mm-hmm.
The main event was the Princess of Princess title match. Miyu Watanabe retaining her title, defeating Rika Tatsumi in 20 minutes and 19 seconds. My thought on this match was I didn't think it was a bad match. I thought it was very solid, but it never really grabbed me.
Really?
Yeah, it was very strange. I think part of it is that the Dragon Sleeper, to me, is such a hit or miss thing. And there was a couple times in the match, like especially late in the match, where you're like, oh, who's going to win? Where it's like, the Dragon Sleeper is on, and you see like a window
mm-hmm.
through Rika's arm where you're like, oh, it looks like she's barely touching Miyu. And I don't know, I thought the rhythm, like I thought them going up the stairs and using the cart and then like rolling the cart around was strange. And it sort of broke the match up. I never really got into it. I always love the way that Miyu gets into giant swing situations by like flipping people around and then holding them by the head and swinging them around. But it was just like, I went 3¾, so I thought it was pretty solid.
Why'd you hate the match?
But then I went online and people were like, oh, what an amazing, the best match of Miyu's title reign and all these things. And I was like, I wasn't there. It just never really, and I like Rika, but just never really grabbed me.
Wow. Yeah, no, I was really high on this one. It was my match of the show. I went 4.5 on it. I loved how they kind of built off the previous match that they had, where it was last time like a battle of power versus skill. And now Miyu is at the point where Rika doesn't have that skill edge anymore. So it was a far more like close match, and Miyu was able to use that power edge to beat her. Overall, I thought the 20 minutes of the match just flew by. Like, I couldn't believe it when they made that the 20-minute call. Just Miyu continues to have awesome strength spots, and I liked the Dragon Sleeper exchange. I can see why you didn't, just because it's a weird-looking move, but I thought they did some cool stuff with it. And yeah, overall, just a tremendous way to close out the show, and I thought a really good way for Miyu to kind of vanquish Rika. So like I said, I went 4.5. This was really, really good.
Well, what else has been happening in the world of Joshi? Oz had a show on July 14th. Takumi Aroha managing to win her 3-on-1 match against the Osaki Goon team. Also on that show, Ryu Mizunami and Sonoko Kato retained their tag titles over Ayame Sasamura and Itsuki Aoki. The other big show of the week was the Sendai Girls show, July 15th. At Korakuen Hall. Kelly, did you watch the show?
I was not able to make time for it.
All right. So I did watch the show, so I will go over it briefly. Really, I think that if you started or you watched really the top four matches, it's an excellent show. The first four matches of the show, all fine. I mean, there was also you versus Sakura Hirota, so maybe not that fine. But the top four matches are all very good.
Well, hey, looking at this, there was only one Sakura Hirota match, not three.
There was only one Sakura Hirota match, which I was a bit bummed about because I thought, oh, I have you. She'll get like 9 points from this or something, and only got 3 points. The hardcore match, a lot of fun. Dash Chizako beating Momo Watanabe. Momo Watanabe gushing blood out of the back of her head.
Oh, really?
At one point, which was crazy. Jordan Grace defeating Chihiro Hashimoto. And then I thought the top two were really good. The Sendai Girls tag team title match, Miyu Momono and Yurika Oka winning the tag titles. I think they're a really good team. I think it was a really fun match. And then the match of the night for me, of course, the main event, Sayori Ano winning back the Wonder of Stardom title and winning the Sendai Girls world title, defeating Mika Iwata. A really good match. I went 4.25 stars. Thought it was really good. Hard hitting. Think they were both very good. You know, I always think Mika Iwata is great, even though she never wins. She won one. And then that was it for that. But a really good match. I would recommend checking it out. It's over on Wrestle Universe, so very easy to
nice. I missed access. That going up there.
The July 20th show, I don't believe they put up on Wrestle Universe. That was the one that had some Stardom participation, that had Iwata, Mina, that had Starlight Kid on the show. So that is not up yet, but hopefully they will put it up or it will appear somewhere at some point. Ice Ribbon had a show on July 14th. Yuki Mashiro retained the triangle ribbon against Saran and Yuri, and Hamaka Hoshi and Makoto won the tag titles from Totoro Satsuki and Yuna Manase. And the Wave Catch the Final tournament has come to an end. The three big results: Hanika defeated Rana Yagami to win the Young Block. So the Stardom rests are coming up short there. Yuki Miyazaki defeated Himiko and Sakura Hirota to win the Elizabeth block and retain the Elizabeth title. And Saya Kamatani defeating Kohaku to win the Catch the Wave tournament. So big win there for Saya Kamatani, and made me wish that I had given extra points to people who win tournaments in our Joshi Fantasy League. Speaking of that Fantasy League, we've got some big updates for you. The first update is Kelly is still in last. And Kelly, I have to say, you had a particularly bad week, which is really saying something. Rina Yamashita giving you 0 points.
Rina, what are you doing?
In the last 2 weeks, she had 8 matches and she lost or went to a time limit draw in all of them.
What the fuck?
So Kelly down at 249 points. Liam, he of tweeting spoilers about shows, also didn't have a great week. Bozilla only getting him 2 points. So not a lot of points there. But he is up at 351 points, led by Unagi Sayaka at 113 points. But stretching out my lead all the way up at 383 points, that would be me, yours truly, 383. You has tied Unagi Sayaka for the most points of the 15 wrestlers currently in our pools, although Miyuki Takase has also gone over 100, the third wrestler to go over 100 points with 102. So some big wins for me. You won the All Japan Trios titles with Shuji Ishikawa and Chihiro Hashimoto. That was a big one. Obviously, Miyu retaining her Princess of Princess title. Ryo Mizunami retaining the Oz title. So getting a lot of 6-pointers for me. So I now have a 32-point lead over Liam, which is great because I thought the minute he picked Bozilla, I was like, oh God, I'm sunk. Because she's going to win the United National title. She's going to win like every house show match. But managed to stretch my lead. So I'm holding on.
Oh, and he even missed out on a title win from Hashimoto then.
He did. Yes, although he did get the title win for Seri winning, of course, the Marigold World title. But yes, did miss out on Hashimoto winning the All Japan Trios, which would have given him 4 points. So too bad for you, Liam. Anyway, what's coming up in the next 2 weeks of Joshi? Well, we've got some Stardom. We haven't talked about Stardom in a little bit. They have a Corican Hall show on July 23rd. They will be doing 2 tournaments to add participants to the 5-star Grand Prix, the Blue Stars A and the Red Stars A. The Blue Stars A participant first round matches will be Miyu Amasaki versus Aya Sakura and Lady C versus Momo Kogo. The Red Stars A first round matches will be Waka Tsukiyama versus Sayaka Karara and Yuna Mizumori versus Ruwaka. Those will be happening on the Corrigan Hall show. Hanan and Saeeda will defend their New Blood tag titles against Rina and Azusa Inaba. And Siri and Konami will defend the tag titles against Tekla and Momo Watanabe. And then a few days later in Sapporo, it will be Sapporo World Rendezvous, the next big show. Hanako, who is heading off to be sucked into the world of MLW.
The world never stops.
Will have a farewell match with Aya Sakura. The finals of those Blue Star and Red Star participant tournament matches will happen on the show. Mayu Iwatani and Hanan will take on Tom Nakano and Natsupoi. And then the 2 title matches announced so far, Saya Kamatani versus Mei Sierra, and Mika will face off against Natsukatora. There are more matches to be announced, but
one of those title matches sounds far better than the other.
Yes, I would say the one title match is the match on the show. the singular match on the show that I thought, ooh, that's good. You know, I think the Mayu Hanan tag match will be fine, but I think it's largely going to be an undercard. But not a, I would say not a show so far, you know, depending on what else gets announced, that I'm super excited for. But we'll see what happens. Ceiling has a show on July 26. There will be a pre-show match. Arisa Nakajima and Seri will team up to take on Natsuki Tayo and Tsukasa Fujimoto if Fujimoto is back from her injury. Misa Kagura will take on the new Seedling rookie, Miria Kuga. La Pedida, Ka Kedida, and Natsu Samiri will have a three-way high-speed match, so that feud continues. Seri, Unagi Sayaka, and Miyuki Takase will team up to take on Makoto, Nagisa Nosaki, and Veni. And the main event, which will be a Road to Retirement preview match, Arisa Nakajima will team with Hiroyo Matsumoto to take on Ayame Sasamura and Itsuki Aoki. Oz has a show on the 28th. Tokyo Joshi has the Naokakuta graduation show on the 25th of July, which will be highlighted by Naokakuta's retirement match against Mizuki. And then they will go right into the Tokyo Princess Cup. The first two shows there happening on July 28th and August 3rd. Marigold has a Quirk and Hall show on July 30th. Just announced the card. It will be the beginning of the, it will be the tag tournament semifinals there. Miku Aono and Natsumi Shozuki will team up to take on Koke Amore and Chika Goto. And in the other tag title tournament match, Mirai and Mai Sakurai will take on Nagisa Nozaki and Chiaki. Julia Seri and Rhea Seto will face off against Utami, Victoria Yuzuki, and Kazuna Tanaka. There will be a five-way match. Misa Matsui, Nao Ishikawa, Komomo Minami, Zeta Steel, and Myla Grace. And there will be Kelly's favorite, a passion injection match between Nanai Takahashi and Bozilla.
That could actually rule, though. Like, I could see that Kelly, one being good.
Kelly has had the passion injected into him for the passion injection match here. So, yeah, that I think that will be a fun match. Ice Ribbon has some shows coming up July 27th. Hamako Hoshi, Makoto, and Saki will team up to take on Arisa Nakajima, Tsukasa Fujimoto, and Unagi Sayaka. And on July 31st, Tsukasa Fujimoto will produce a birthday show. Nothing announced for that yet. Wave has their regular first of the month show coming up on August 1st, which will feature Kohaku facing off against May Sierra in that one. Saki and Risa Sarah will defend the tag titles against Kaori Yonayama and Cherry. And Yuki Miyazaki will defend against Hanaka. Also happening, the big show, Seriism, Chapter 4, coming up. The show is Chichi versus Miria Koga. Jaguar Yokota and Kyoru Ito will take on Misa Kagura and Sha. I think this is the first time we've talked about Sha, who is part of T-Hearts. Now, Haragi Karumi will take on Yu. Miyu Momono and Riko Kawahata will face off against Tsukasa Fujimoto and Arisa Nakajima, so that should be good.
That's cool.
And the main event will be Seri and Natsupoi facing off against Takumi Aroha and Azumi.
That's a cool match.
So another good Seriism card. Check it out. You can buy the pay-per-view through the Seriism website. But that is everything coming up in the next 2 weeks of Joshi. I guess I'll throw it over to you, Kelly, for Kelly's Corner.
It's Kelly's Corner time. Have you seen Long Legs?
I have seen Long Legs.
Dude, it's so good. It's so fucking good.
I sat next to a very annoying person in watching Long Legs who just let the thoughts fly.
Oh, that sucks.
Out loud the whole movie.
Oh.
Including near the end of the movie, repeatedly gesticulating and going, "Why? Why? Why?" I was like, "Shut the fuck up." It was very annoying, but I did enjoy the movie.
Yeah, great movie. Nicolas Cage is incredible in it. It's great horror movie. Definitely, if you're a horror fan, check it out.
Well, there you go. A Kelly's Corner where I have seen the thing Kelly's recommending.
And you had some freak sitting next to you.
I had a freak on the screen and a freak in the theater. No, you can't escape them. What's worse, a serial killer or a person in a theater who won't stop talking?
Yeah, I love going to a movie and having a friend on one side and no one else on the other when I'm sitting.
I usually go to movies very late at night.
Okay.
Because I live very close to a theater that I can walk to.
Oh, yeah. At that point, you might as well.
So I usually go like 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock movie. I'm there. And it usually means the people who are there are like late night people. They don't talk. They don't look at their phones. But for this one, I went with a friend. So we were there in the middle of the afternoon. So, and it was, the theater was like entirely full.
Ugh.
So, what can you do?
Yeah.
What can you do? You can watch more Joshi.
Oh, you can watch more Joshi and tell your friends about Jumping Bomb Audio.
That's right. And you can eagerly await a brand new episode in 2 weeks' time.
Wow.
It will be here as we always are. We will be back in 2 weeks' time. What will we be talking about? Well, we'll probably be talking about World Rendezvous. And who knows
what a weird name for a show.
Yeah. I have noticed the stardom shows have become very oddly named, like Conversion.
Yeah.
Stardom Conversion. Okay. You know, maybe it's better than everything being like Summer Princess Spectacular, Winter Princess Excitement.
They wanted to get away from the Rossi naming conventions because that'll just all go over to Marigold anyway. So they're like, All right, let's just put some weird English words in here.
And that's all for us. So, like I said, we will see you in 2 weeks' time. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
Do you like wrestling trivia? Then check out the 5-Star Match Game, the Pro Wrestling Quiz Show. I'm Joe Gagne, and every episode, I grill 3 contestants with 5 rounds of power-packed wrestling trivia. We have over 30 evergreen episodes in the archives covering WWE, AEW, Japan, Mexico, and much, 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 much more. Play along at home and check it out today.